Thank you, ladies, for the song and for leading us into a time of worship, a place of worship, and for the beautifulness of that song as well. Thank you. Well, this morning we're going to continue on church with our sermon series that we started a few weeks back entitled Beauty for Ashes. And this sermon series comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 3. Where the prophet Isaiah is reassuring the Hebrews. He's reassuring them of the Lord's care for them and how that the Lord will ultimately take the mourning of their ashes, the disgustingness of their sin, their separation from the Lord, and that He would turn it into something beautiful. For the Hebrews were in a habit and a pattern of their sacrifice by bringing sacrifices before the altar in a burnt sacrifice form, offering it up to the Lord as payment for their sin, and they would take that sacrifice and then in their mourning over their own sin, place the ashes upon their head. Isaiah wanted them to know that there was hope coming where that form of mourning and that form of sacrifice would never be needed. For the Lord would take their brokenness and that He would turn it into something wonderful and beautiful. And that's a promise for you and I today as well. The very same promise that the Lord made through the prophet Isaiah of taking our brokenness and turning it into something that's wonderful. We talked the first sermon series about shame, guilt, and regret. The second sermon series was on anger and bitterness. Number three was on anxiety and stress and depression. Number four was on addictions. This week, number five, Parenting, a grace-filled experience. I suppose that there's nothing in life that presents us with our humanity, our brokenness, than parenting. I mean, think about it. You are responsible for the life of that little child that has been brought into the world and has been placed into your hands and into your care. I recall back, we had three children. I recall back when all three of them were born and how hopeless I felt in many ways. Helpless I felt as I would hold that little child. And believe me, there wasn't anything natural about that for me. I'd never really held children before. I mean, we grew up, we had animals, you know, we had pigs, and we had cows and goats and all of these kind of, I had never really taken a little child into my arms, and here we were in the delivery room, Gina was knocked out, she don't remember, and this baby was born, and the doctors and the nurses, they turn and they hand this thing to me. And I can remember the overwhelming, oh, that thing was Josh, by the way. Sorry, Josh. I forgot you were in here. So they handed me Josh. They handed me Josh, and I can remember the overwhelmness of thinking, what am I going to do? What is this all about? In many ways, it was one of the most wonderful feelings ever. In many ways, it was one of the most helpless feelings ever. And maybe you have experiences like that in your own life. As a parent, trying to train up a child in the way that they should go is a difficult task, to say the least. But thank the Lord that He has brought to us help. And that help comes to us through the form of His word, His instruction for you and I as parents, as broken people that often get it wrong. And believe me, as a parent, you will get it wrong often. But there's some things that we can learn from the scriptures that will help us to get it right. Now, in context, we're going to be talking about parenting this morning. If you're not a parent, don't worry. These principles that we're going to be speaking about are principles that you can learn to live with the people that are the closest to you. It's part of what makes life work well, and in the context of parenting, it's what makes parenting work well. Along with that, we're going to be spending some time in the scriptures talking about training up the children in the way that they should go, as well as some things for the parent, what we need to know, because we as parents must be trained as well. We're going to start off this morning with a passage of Scripture that is from Proverbs. That's probably passages that you're well familiar with, but it sets the stage for us. And then we're going to go right into Psalms 103rd Psalms. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to read these verses, so you just follow along with me in Proverbs chapter number 22, verse 4, 5, and 6. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now from that, we're going to move to Psalms, the 103rd Psalms, verses 1 through 8. And this is where we're really going to get the context of the message this morning. This is David as he was writing about some life, as he was looking back, some things that he understood about life that he wishes he would have probably understood many years before. David as a husband made a lot of mistakes. David as a father made a lot of mistakes. But he looks into his heavenly Father and he outlines here a pattern for you and I and a pattern for our own homes. Verse number 1 of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Let's pray. Father, as we look into Your Word this morning, may You take these words and pierce them into our hearts. I pray for, especially as parents, that we would be able to minister these words into our hearts and through our lives and to our children. I pray for everyone that's in the congregation this morning that this would become a pattern for their home, a way of life that You have instituted before us to follow and that You have placed before us as instruction in righteousness. For Lord, we come to You and call upon Your Holy Spirit to empower us and indwell us as we minister one to another. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we go through this part of the sermon series on parenting, I guess it's fairly easy to describe our lives as brokenness in many ways, many things, many forms, and many fashions. But it's another thing to describe our home as a broken home. In fact, if I put out there the question, what does a broken home look like? You might be tempted to say, well, a broken home must be where a father or a mother is not present, or perhaps there's blended families and things of that sort. Well, that's not necessarily the definition that we're talking about this morning of a broken home. A broken home can be a father and a mother in their first marriage with their own children, but not functioning very well in the sight of the Lord. Not functioning the way that God intended for us to function. So as we're talking about brokenness and in the broken home context, we're talking about any home that is not functioning the way God had intended. Which brings us to the question, well, how did God intend for us to function in our home? And specifically, as a parent, how did God intend for me to take that little bundle of joy, was that better, Josh? Little bundle of joy that He placed in our arms and bring it into this world, this sin-cursed world, and to bring that person into a place where they would have every opportunity to know the Lord and every opportunity to minister grace to others. That's the challenge. But here in this outline of Psalms 103, we see that David has outlined some things that are helpful for us. And I want to bring those things out in the context of parenting so that you and I will not be a broken people, but that we will be people of beauty in the sight of the Lord, passing that along to the children to whom He has entrusted in our care. The very first thing that I want us to look at as a pattern for our homes or a pattern as parenting comes from verse number 1 and verse number 2 of the 103rd Psalms. Let me read that once again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. This brings us to the first point of counting blessings. Counting my blessings rather than my frustrations. These verses that David was writing out as he pronounced, bless the Lord. He wasn't simply saying, Lord, I want to be a blessing to you. He was saying, Lord, you have blessed me. Therefore, I praise you with all that is within me. From the inner depths of the soul to everything that's around me, Lord, it is you who controls me. It is your holy name that is worthy to be praised. And he says, in this blessing, I must not forget all your benefits, all of your blessings. Counting blessings changes my focus from the home to the focus of the Lord of the home. Do you understand that? Changing my focus from in the home and about the home to the Lord of the home. When you're bringing up your children, when you're ministering to your children, one of the most critical points that you could ever teach your children from the time that they were born all the way through is to know and understand the blessings of life, the blessings of God's goodness, the blessings of how He brought them into the world, the blessings of how He brought you to salvation, the blessings of providing for your daily needs, the blessings in the smallest of things, counting our blessings. The more we count our blessings, the more the aggravations of life seem to disappear, the more the frustrations are turned into accomplishments. It's encouraging for your children to know that life is good and that life in the Lord is excellent and that serving the Lord could not find anything to replace it that would be better. When your children know and understand that, that brings security to their own soul. It brings a peace into their own heart that says when mom and dad are at peace with the Lord and they're counting the blessings of God, then I know that I have a heavenly Father. What happens when some tragedy comes? What happens when you feel like that life is pressing in upon you? You go before the Lord. Do you know how many times that it'll be your children who may actually remind you, but we have the Lord to go to. We can pray. Then you begin to understand that pressing into and putting forth to your children the blessings turns around and it comes back as they bless the Lord as well. Children are a blessing and to be counted. Psalms tells us in 127 verse 3, 4, and 5, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. Not exactly sure what a quiver full is, but the children that the Lord has placed in your life are a blessing, and they should be counted as a blessing of the Lord. And you focus on their life as a blessing of the Lord, not as a frustration, not as an aggravation, not as something to just endure, but you focus on their heart and their life as a blessing. Counting your blessings means that you teach them how to pray, to count their blessings as well. And not only teaching them how to pray, but praying for them. In your insert this morning, you'll find that there was a little insert that says 31 biblical virtues to pray for your children. You probably thought this was the message and it's 31 points and we're going to be here all day. This is something for you to take home. This is something for you to be able to begin praying, even if your children are very young or even still inside the mother. You begin to pray. Help them to know and understand this. You help them to come to these virtues in their life by teaching them faithfully and praying for them. And then when our children pray, when our children begin to learn to pray. By the way, their prayer is usually a very elementary kind of a prayer. But that's okay. They don't have to know theology at age 5. Believe me. Don't even try to teach them theology that you are having a hard time understanding to them at age 5. It's not that complicated for our children. They just need to know that someone is there and that things are good. And they need to know that mom and dad are okay with the Lord no matter what the Lord brings into their life. And you'll understand when you hear them counting their blessings. I remember someone telling me one time about their own children and how that they had taught their children to be thankful. From the time that they were very, very young all the way through their life, they were teaching them how to be thankful about even the smallest of things. And one day at the dinner table, as they sat down, they called on their oldest son to lead them in a prayer time. He was quite young, so it was going to be a childlike prayer time, but nonetheless a prayer time. And you know how we normally have our mealtime prayers. Maybe yours goes something like this: Lord, thank you for this food that you've provided. Bless it to be nourishment to our bodies and health and strength. That kind of a prayer time. Their son, though, when he began to pray, thank you, Lord, for this food. Thank you for the spoon that I have. Thank you for the fork that I have, and the knife, and the serviette, and the plates, and the table. And as it was going on, they kind of in their mind and their heart was chuckling and laughing a little bit. And then after a few more moments, they realized, we're going to be here for a long time. This was not a prayer that was going to stop anytime soon. And in their heart, they were thinking, do we stop the prayer? Do we continue on with the prayer? Hey, that kind of prayer is okay. That's a beautiful prayer from a young child who really begins to grasp and understand that thankfulness and counting blessings is important in life because God is the God of those blessings. And as your children begin to understand that and learn that, they're going to learn that from you. Problems become small and insignificant when you hear a child who prays. Problems begin to melt away when a child with a childlike faith simply says, but God knows all things. Have you ever been stunned as a parent when the perplexities of life are out there, the world is pressing upon you, and you hear this little child voice that says, Mommy, Daddy, it's okay. God knows all things. That's not deep theology, but that's theology that brings your children to an understanding of who God is, and it'll help you as a parent as well. I like this quote by Josh Harris when he was talking about the children that sometimes we kind of sidetrack and push off the side as if they're unimportant in the big picture of life. He says, never let a problem be solved to become more important than a person to be loved. He knew and understood that loving your children with the love of the Lord in their heart and their life was more important than the things that are around us. Learn and help your children to count their blessings and remind them daily of the benefits of the Lord with all that is within you. But number two, let's talk about something else. It comes from verse number 3 in our outline of Psalms 103, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. This brings us to the point of forgive easily. Forgive easily and completely. Do you know a child who grows up in a home that is full of forgiveness is a child who has learned something that will carry them through not only the rest of their childhood, but into their adult life? A child who has been given forgiveness when he's young will begin to understand the forgiveness that God has for him. Sometimes as a parent, it can be easy to be critical of our children. We can be critical of everything that they do. When they're young, they spill the juice, they drop the food, they don't listen when you tell them to do something. And we can become so cynical as parents that, well, this is just the way my children are going to be. Let me assure you of something. When your children are young, the reason they make those kind of mistakes and they do those kind of things is because they're young. They're growing. There's an immature mind and an immature spirit along with that immature body. And they're looking to you for leadership and guidance. The parent who is quick and easily to forgive is the parent who will see their child's spirit healed, their heart nurtured. A child who knows that they can go to mom and they can go to dad because mom and dad will maybe not understand the whys, but they will understand the importance of who God is and how that it has benefited their life, and that becomes a blessing that your children will carry for the rest of their life. Forgiveness. It's something that as you get older and you look back and you say, I wished I would have been more forgiving. Don't let that be you. Begin now by making forgiveness. Make it a regular part of your life. Now, there is a danger in that. You might say, well, Pastor, if I forgive my children so easily about everything that's going on, will that mean that they take advantage of me on some things? And the answer is yes, absolutely. That's what immaturity is all about. They don't understand the big picture of everything that's happened. And believe me, they will take advantage of your kindness and your forgiveness. Oh, that's when we get to let them have it, right? Wrong. That's when you show more kindness and more forgiveness. Your forgiveness has the ability to exceed their ability to understand. Your forgiveness has the ability to exceed their immature decisions, the mistakes that they make. But your forgiveness instilled into their heart, into their life, is going to help you immensely as they grow and as they change. You know, studies tell us this. Studies tell us that our children and their identity is connected to their parents' identity at those early years. About years 1 through 5, your children go where you go. They think what you think. They do what you say. They're so connected with your life that their identity is connected to you. By the time your children are 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10, and they find their way into school, they're starting to make friends that sometimes you'll be thinking, I don't know if I approve of this friend or not. I don't know what's going on in all aspects of their life. And by the time they become teenagers, 13 years old and older, they're in this in-between life. They're almost living life as an adult because they have quite a bit of independence. But yet in their home, they're still needing their parents. And there's this in-between age. And when they're in that year 13 and older, the opportunity for mistakes, it just begins to grow. And believe me, it'll come. And when those mistakes come, you know what you need and what you should want as a parent? You should want and you should need your children to be able to come to you every time that there's been something that was wrong, every time that something was messed up, every time something is going astray, to come to you and say, Mom, Dad, I need to talk to you about something. Because when they know that you're going to offer forgiveness and a solution, a right solution, a godly solution to the issues and the problems they're going through, their heart is going to be comforted. They're going to find that peace. Where does it all start? It starts back when they were 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. And they say, Mom and Dad forgave me quickly and thoroughly. So as we get older, we can depend on Mom and Dad to forgive us. It's not just a part of parenting. It's a part of the way of life that God expects for all believers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is a way of parenting that satisfies the soul and it builds the bond between a mother and a father and that child. But number three, we're going to talk about something else that's found in verse number 4, and that is sacrifice more than others. Be willing to pay the higher price. Verse number 4 says, speaking of the Lord, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ to you that is passed on to you to buy you off the slave market of sin cost him a great price. It was the sacrifice of his very own blood on the cross of Calvary. He gave it all. He sacrificed more than you. As a parent, you're going to find out that sacrifice comes with parenting. It's just a way of life in parenting. It can't be helped. Those children need you to be sacrificing. And it's a continuing work, a continuing way of living your life, a continuing way of letting your children know that God has sacrificed, therefore we sacrifice. It seems hard for a child when they're young to understand and to learn sacrifice because we're kind of by nature selfish people. I mean, some children are not as selfish as other children, but you'll learn that children primarily begin to think about themselves. When they have a parent who demonstrates that life is not about me, life is about me sacrificing for you, that becomes, again, something in their heart, something in their soul that teaches them about the true essence of what life is really about. Giving of self, giving of things to be sacrificed for others, and rewarding them through that sacrifice with kindness and tender mercies. Have you ever heard these words before? When a parent has sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed, and the child didn't do exactly what the parent expected the child to do, and the parent may say, "After all I've done for you," you know, we place that guilt trip out there as if my sacrifice is demanding a response from them. Well, children, sometimes they're not going to respond the way that you think they're going to respond. They're going to respond with immaturity. But sacrifice, in the kind of sacrifice we're talking about, still rewards them. It says, "I have sacrificed for you, and I've sacrificed for you, and here's a little bit more." What did Jesus do for you? He sacrificed for you. His blood paid the price for your salvation. And after it was all said and done, you would think that Jesus would be rewarded with this big crown of life placed upon his head, where he sits upon his throne and he says, "Now I am worthy to be praised." Well, he is worthy to be praised. But that crown of life, that reward was placed upon your head, the very one that he sacrificed for. Do you get that as a picture for what it's like to parent? Exceeding the expectations of your children. Your children are going to like this one. Your parent says, "I've got a little job for you to do. It's a job that's worth $10. You clean up the house, you clean up the room, clean up the garage. There's $10 in that." And they do it, and they do it well. And you say, "Here's that $10. What about 20? Reward them." Let me give you the point. You might say, "Isn't that a little bit too much? I mean, isn't that spoiling the children?" In a way it is. But it's the right kind of a way. Because what it tells them is this. It tells them that you and the sacrifice you're willing to make to help them in life is worth their life. It's the same thought that Jesus Christ had for you. One thing that you should want your children to know about you as you grow older, as they grow older, as they look back and they say, "Mom and Dad was willing to sacrifice everything. They gave to me what I didn't deserve, and they done it for me gladly." You see, you're teaching them not just about growing up as a child. You're teaching them about how they're going to live the rest of their life as a sacrificer. The only other option to that is that they begin to live their lives for themselves. They become selfish. And as a child, we expect it. As an adult, it doesn't look so cute anymore. So as a parent, you have the opportunity with those precious children that have been given to your possession to teach them about sacrifice. But number four tells us this, to care for their soul. Verse number five, David writes, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." It's a part of bringing the soul into a place where strength and power is given to them, not strength and power that the world has to offer, not in the credibility of academics and things of that sort, but strength and power from the depths of their heart, the depths of their soul that produces character. How do you produce character in your children? Through caring for their soul, much like a doctor cares for your personal physical existence. You care for the soul of your children. That means teaching them not only how to pray and praying often, but that the Word of God is important, that the Word of God is the very thing that sustains life, that it's the Word of God who will fulfill them, that it's the Word of God that will bring peace to them, that it's the Lord Jesus Himself who brings salvation, that the soul of man is real and is alive, and that it's an important part of this life more so than anything else. You're caring for their activities is good. Teach your children things that bring enjoyment. We've always found a lot of fun and enjoyment in things like sports and other aspects of life. Dance. Catherine, boy, she loves dance. I don't know why. I didn't love dance. But it's something that we grow to love because she loves it. But in all of those things, for as much as we want to encourage our children in those things, I don't want to place the value of those things above their soul. We always had a rule. And when I say a rule, this was a rule as in a spiritual guideline that we followed. I said, we want to support you in sports and dance and all of these other things. But none of these things is more important than worshiping our Lord. None of these things are more important that we say no to the things of God. God must come first. It doesn't cause your children, by the way, to hate God. It causes your children to know and to understand the first things first in life. It causes them to know and understand the importance of where God is in the world and in your home, and that everything else follows after that. But it's your responsibility as a parent. That's part of caring for their soul. Another part of caring for their soul is discipline. Discipline. It's one of those areas of life. You say, well, a moment ago you were talking about forgiving them for everything. I didn't say everything all the time in all ways. Forgiving them is forgiveness, but discipline is also a part of the training. It's part of the teaching. Now, when I was growing up, and maybe many of you were like this, when I was growing up, discipline had one form and one look. And that was my dad would tell me to go out to the big tree, the bush that was by our house, and select the nice, straightest, longest stick that I could get off the bush. That's the way we did it. And he would cut the stick, and he would bring it inside, and he would let me watch him as he whittled off the little branches and the leaves until it was long and very thin at the top, because that's the ones that hurt the most. And that was the form of discipline that we used. Is that the kind of discipline that we're talking about? Not necessarily. In fact, you should be aware that here in New Zealand, there are laws that prohibits certain types of discipline or actions of striking and hitting and endangering your children. That's not at all the kind of discipline that we're talking about. In fact, throughout the Scriptures, you must know and understand that while the Scriptures may give examples of discipline, and one of those examples of discipline was a spanking, it's not a mandate that says you have to spank or have to strike your children. Discipline is training, it's teaching, it's helping them to learn, and there's many ways, many forms of how you can discipline your children. And discipline is not equal for all your children. All three of our children were different in their personalities, in the way they respond to things. Therefore, we would have to make sure that the discipline was proportionate to who they were, not just a standard, you know what that means, and we do it the same way. So caring for their soul. But number five tells us this, comes from verse number six, and that is to provide a place of safety. Verse number six says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Your children need to know and understand that your home, your family, is a place of safety. That it's a safe haven from school. It's a safe haven from the world that's out there. When they come home, this safe haven should be a place where they are fed well, and I don't mean just physically, but I mean spiritually, where they are loved often. One of the things that will make your home a place of safety is how you love your children, giving them your time and your attention, Having conversation. If your conversation with your children exists in something like this, they come home from school and your first question is, did you bring your books home? I told you this morning to bring your books. Go to your room. Later on, it's, hey, it's time for dinner. Come down. It's time to clean up. That's not really conversation, is it? That's kind of barking out instructions, and sometimes, of course, that's necessary. But I'm talking about conversation that sets down one-on-one, face-to-face, and says, let's talk about school, not just, did you get your books from school? Let's talk about life. Let's talk about your friends. Let's talk about things that you like, and be willing to spend that time connecting with their soul, connecting with their mind, understanding who they are. It provides a place of safety. But as I mentioned a moment ago, a lot of love, a lot of hugs. Hug them in the morning before they go out the door. Hug them when they come in the door in the evening. Hug them at night before they go to bed. And in between every opportunity you have, put your arms around your children and you tell them you love them. Don't let them ever walk out the door of your home wondering, does mom and dad still love me? Because believe me, that will be a thought that goes through a child's mind. They don't understand all of the scenarios of what's happening. They don't understand the bigger picture of life. They can only understand from this hour to this hour, from the time in the morning that they get up to the time they go out the door, and things can change, and you know how it changes quickly. They wake up in the morning and everything is good. 10 minutes later, things are going wrong, and they're wondering, do they still love me? You reassure your children of your love for them regularly, often, daily, and multiple times throughout the day. That provides a place of safety. Number 6 in our outline, though, says to show them the big picture. Verse number 7 in our passage of Scripture, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. It was Moses who was allowed to see the big picture of the wandering in the wilderness from the Hebrews. It was Moses who understood that there was a promised land. It was Moses that God came and said, I'm going to reveal to you the bigger picture of what's happening here. And as Moses understood the big picture of life, it was a comfort to him that extinguished the grumbling. Others grumbled, but Moses said, I see the big picture. And I know what life is about. What's the big picture in the life of a child when a child is so young and so many things don't make sense? Well, the big picture is that God is real. That the Lord our God is in heaven above. And that He is concerned about your soul and my soul. And that we serve the Lord. One of the passages of Scripture that we put up in our house many, many years ago, and we've stuck with it the whole time, was the passage out of Joshua. In the latter days of Joshua's life, as he proclaimed, he says, serve whom you want, the gods of your forefathers and the false idols, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Capture that verse, not just in your mind and in your heart, but capture it in the picture of who your family really serves. Let them know the big picture is not about you. The big picture is certainly not about them. The big picture of life is about the Lord God Almighty. Sometimes as parents, we're tempted to say things like this. We're going to do it my way because I said so. Because I'm in charge of life. I'm in charge of everything. The truth is, you're not in charge of life and you're not in charge of everything, nor are you even in charge of their life. It must be the Lord. You are just the one that the Lord has placed that life into your care. You are the caretaker for the Lord's children. And you make that known to them that they belong to the Lord God Almighty and that He is important in their life. But the last one, the final one, reflect godliness at any cost. Verse number 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Reflect godliness at any cost. This pattern will cost you more than them. But in the end, you'll both be winners. Because when you reflect godliness in times of anger, times of disruption,
times when you don't get your way, times when things are really getting difficult, that gives your children a pattern for life that says God is still in control even when our life may be out of control. God is still on the throne. God is still concerned about my life and my heart. The reflecting godliness means that the fruit of the Spirit must be evident in the life of a parent as they teach their children right from wrong, as they become an example of what God would want them to be. Now, I realize that these things that we've talked about this morning, this was not a how-to or an instruction manual, but it certainly is a pattern that you and I, that if we adopt as parents and instill this in the life of our children, that when they are old, and by the way, that verse that says, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, is a progressive training. As they become older, from 5 to 10 years old, as they become older, it becomes more a part of their life. You don't stop it when they become 10 or 15 or 20 or 30. As a parent, you display this all of their life because you're still imparting to their life what God has imparted to you. Reflecting godliness means that as my soul draws closer to the Lord, I draw my family closer to the Lord as well. These principles that we've talked about this morning, when they're practiced in the context of parenting, you're giving your children every opportunity to know the Lord, and you're giving your children every opportunity to live a life that is godly and pleasing, that will be to their benefit in all the days of their life as well. Let's all stand together, because we're going to have a time of prayer. And this morning I'm going to challenge you, if you're a parent, I'm going to challenge you to take these 31 virtues and pray for your children, not here this morning, but as you take them. And I'm going to challenge you as a parent to take these principles that we've talked about, these 7 things, and incorporate it into your life of your children. Your children are so unique and so special that other methods of training them will be frustrating, but you show these 7 principles in the life of your children, and you'll be doing exactly what God expected for you as a parent. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to take this time in prayer. And I just simply want to pray for you, especially those who are parents. I want to pray that the Lord empower you and strengthen you with His Spirit to be a godly parent, caring for the souls of your children. Perhaps some of you someday will be a parent. Make these things a part of your life. And however God has orchestrated your home, whatever your circumstances are, let this be a pattern for your home that would show grace and kindness and mercy and love. Let's pray. Father, this morning we simply come to you and ask that you would take these words, this Psalms, this 103rd Psalm, as David reflected back on his own life, and he saw and he knew and he understood the importance of making a sacrifice, the importance of being gracious and loving and kind, the importance of instilling into the lives of people around him the godly virtues that you had shown to him. Lord, may that be the kind of parents that we become. I pray for each and every one, every mother and every father that's here, that you would minister to their hearts as they minister to their children. May they show this same grace and mercy. I pray for every home that is represented here. Regardless of the dynamics, Lord, may this be a pattern that they adopt into their own life, a pattern that honors you and puts priority on who you are rather than our own lives. So, Lord, as we come to you, lifting up these verses, lifting up these passages to minister to our heart, may your Spirit do a work within us that we can accomplish, and that we can look back and say, Lord, it's been good to know who you are and how you minister. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. You may be seated. Just a few announcements that we'd like to make this morning, so we have someone to come up. Come on up, Father Renee. He has a few things he's going to share with you, and then we'll be dismissed in a time of prayer.
morning. And I believe that the message is not only for parents and for children as well. And that someday you'll become parents as well. But at this time, you should also learn to appreciate and reciprocate the care and the sacrifice that your parents have been doing to you. So, a couple of announcements before we finally dismiss. First up, youth camp. I believe Josh, you got something to say about this.
All right. So Wednesday is the day that we are heading out for our teen camp. And here I have the registration forms or parental signatures that need to be handed in today or Wednesday morning. And payment is $60 for camp. I know some paid last week, but we've had to slightly increase it to 60, which is still really, really good. So it's $60 for camp. So that can be paid either today or Wednesday, okay? But we need the parental signature as well on the form and hand it in straight after, and then we can sign you off on the sheet. And Wednesday morning, if we can be there by 9:45, prepare to leave a little after 10:30, close to it. It'd be really good. And just keep the brochure because it tells you all the things that you need to bring and all the things you need to prepare for camp. So just come see us straight after and just get the payment in. And yeah, we'll see you there with the sheet.
Thank you, Josh. Next, essential for Road Ahead. This is for a young adults retreat. It's going to be on 25th of August to 27th. That's on Friday to Sunday, two nights. The cost is $170. That includes the meals and the accommodations. If you are interested or you know more about this, please see Matt or Chandra. Next, please. Married couples retreat on the 9th to 11th November. Still a couple of months away, so... couples, think about this. You have more time to think. Consider attending. This is a very nice place and a very good time to spend together with your spouse. If you need more information about this, please see Pastor Mike and Miss Jenya. Kids Club Library. You're still asking if you have some kids' book. Your homes that you don't use anymore, if you want to donate them or loan them to the kids' library, then you can look for one of our teachers. We'll be happy to receive your books. Next, please. Before we go to the birthdays, in your brochure, we got the insert here, Taste of Missions. August is our missions month, so please mark this on your calendar. On the 5th of August, that's a Saturday, from 5 to 7:30 will be our missions kickoff. So we are inviting you to prepare for this, bring a plate. So this is the kickoff for our missions month. And also, we have one special request announcement here from one of our brothers. The company that he's been working with, they're looking for machine operators with a fork hoist license with 2 years' experience. So if you're looking for a job, or if you know someone with such qualifications, please look for our brother Bo here. He has been sitting here in front. And for our missions, please pray for... Steve and Christina McIver. You have been supporting them since 2013. They're doing missions work in North Asia. Please pray for Steve as he continues to learn the language well to be able to reach out to the people of Outer Mongolia. And also, please do visit our missions board there by the kitchen so you'll be able to know what's going on with our missions. And now, finally, birthdays. Anybody celebrating a birthday this week from today to Saturday? Anybody? We got some chocolates for you? No? What about wedding anniversaries? Wedding anniversary. No one? Oh, probably you're hungry now, you know, in a hurry to get home. Well, anyway, let's all stand up and let's ask Pastor Mike to close us in a word of prayer.
All right, well, I hope you've had a good day today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed, and I hope that you have a good, godly week as well. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for the day you've given to us, for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for ministering to our hearts. Thank you for our brothers and sisters. Lord, as we depart our ways from here, may you be with them this week, encourage their hearts, strengthen their lives, and their spirit. Be with them this week in all that they say and do. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll see you all next week.